Blog Talk Radio. The views expressed on Talk Real Solutions, hosted by Tyrone Thompson at TalkRealSolutions.com, are the views of Tyrone Thompson and do not reflect the views of TalkRealSolutions.com, YouTube, or etc. The content here belongs to Talk Real Solutions and its many contributors. Views and opinions expressed by all contributors belong to them and not TalkRealSolutions.com or Tyrone Thompson, the host, or etc. All data and information provided on the site is for informational purposes only. Talk Real Solutions makes no representation as to accuracy, completeness, correctness, suitability, or validity of any information on this site and will not be liable for any errors, omissions, or delays in this information or any losses, injuries, or damages arising from its display or use. All information is provided on an as-is basis.
Welcome, world. BTR, Facebook Live, and the free conference call. Welcome to another show of Talk Real Solutions, founded by Mr. Tyrone Thompson. I'm here as a host on one of the many nights that we have here of shows. My name is All Facts. And tonight, it's going to be a great show. I think it's going to be a great show for me is because I really want to have this show. But before I go into that, go to TalkRealSolutions.com. There you'll see interesting stories about the Black African-American community, current events in your local area, statewide, nationwide, and worldwide. Okay? Also, if you scroll down, you'll see a three-point plan. For black empowerment, look at that three-point plan and put business in your business life or your personal life and see if it's beneficial to you. Also, if you like the program and what you like to hear, the little uniqueness that we have over here, you can click on that donate to keep things rolling. Now, having said that, we're going to get into it. I just want to say, I want to give him an announcement. I called Tyrone and I said, I really wanted to do this show tonight. But I want to be clear to everyone maybe listening. This summer, I'm not going to be doing a whole lot of shows. If I do, it may be once a week, probably once every 2 weeks. Okay? And I'm saying that to say this, someone has to step up. This is the times that we're going through right now, perfect for this show. This is what this platform was built for, this type of environment right now. But this is no black supremacist show. This is black, we talk about black African-American politics. How bills pass, how it's going to affect us. And we talk it on mostly a federal level because this is the internet. People are all around the country here. And on the federal level, it's going to impact all the people that calls into the show, participates in the show, the host of the show. You know, it's good. That's what we talk about. And I, on this particular night, invite anybody of all races to call. But if you're a troll, I've been at this for years, you're going to get cut off. If you want to be a Caucasian tonight, an Asian tonight, and get educated on Black African-American history, feel free to have any questions that you want. Feel free to learn. I want to bring this out into cyberspace because, listen, I'm learning this. How is this going to make me more astute? What I learned, then I go and talk about it to the audience. That means it reframes in my mind. So I'm teaching myself as I teach others or as I share the information that I've learned. It's an interesting time. A lot of people are out of work. Sports is over. They tell you for a fact, sports, entertainment, get you away from political politics. People are starting getting more political and more politics and being aware. This is the perfect time to get information. I propose the times that we're going through now, the masses, the majority, I guarantee you 51% or more. I don't know what that more is, but 51% or more of the quote-unquote white American don't know what you're about to hear tonight. They don't care. What you hear is not taught in mixed schools. It's not taught in predominantly white schools. People tell me that they know what they're talking about. They know our history. I contend they do not. I contend if they know something, they know a little bit, but they never dig in deep. You got to dig in deep. And any women who may get offended tonight, we're not setting you to the side. It's just a measurable fact. When we talk about this country, I'm going to start tonight basically from the Revolutionary War, Civil War. Critical points in time. I know they were wondering hundreds of years before that over the slave ships. We're going to get to that. I'm going to have another show next week, and that's probably the last show for a while. It's getting hot and juicy. I got to travel. I got to work, travel, spend some money, have enjoyed my life. Come on, not all about politics. But I'm definitely have to break it down so I can put a record. As I learn, I can present and present a case to anyone that says, hold up. I was wrong. Telling black people that the only thing, the only single thing that they need to do is pull up their bootstraps. To pull up their bootstraps. And everything is just going to be just fine. It's a lie. We don't want to hear that type of politics anymore. Not right now. Not right now. So, yeah, so we're gonna get into that. But first, guys, real quick, I was out and about today. I told you I'm starting to get out and about. And you know another host, another guest over here, his name is Kenner. And while I was out and about at the shoe store, you know, downtown Baltimore, and we're talking. I said, well, hold up, brother. You know, they got these social distancing. I'm in this big line. Let me call you back. So I get what I want. Get what I need. Right? And so as I'm walking back to the car, I decide to... So I was downtown, so... I decided to say, hold on for 1 second, guys. Hold on for 1 second. And there you go. And so I was downtown, I was getting to my car. I said, well, I think about all this stuff, and I was thinking about hitting him back. And I said, well, while I'm down here, and nobody's out, it's a ghost town. It's still a ghost town. Nothing in London. So, oh, and by the way, guys, it's coronavirus. You still got to look out for that stuff. Okay? Gotta watch out. Numbers are coming up. Okay? Back to the map. Watch scientists. With all this protest, numbers are coming up. For fact. But I said, man, let me go ahead and try to talk to Ken. Let me give him a visualization right here in Baltimore. Before I go, let me do a quick video. Let me get a quick video. So I'm going to play this video. I don't know if he's on the line or anything. I'm going to play this video, and I'm going to tell you after he sees this video, I'm going to tell you what he told me. Hold on for a minute. Hold on. I may have to.
Muted.
Now, when I play this video, right, and I'm downtown today, I play this video, Ken's giving me a response, and I'll let you know. Just take a listen to this.
See, they want more. See, this is what they want for our black young men, black African American males. This is for them. Look at this shit. Right down Baltimore. Huh? This is where you want to put them at? More money. Guess what? This is what the coons want. See, they want more. See, this is what they want for our black young men, black African American males. This is for them. Look at this shit. Right down Baltimore. Huh? This is where you want to put them at? More money. Guess what? All them people right there in that building, they making a lot of good money. This is what the coons want. See, this is what the coons want. This is what the coons want. See, they want more. See, this is what they want for our black young men, black African American males. This is for them. Look at this shit. Right down Baltimore. This is where you want to put them at? More money, guess what? All them people right there in that building, they making lots of good money off our children. Huh? That's supposed to be a big rec center. That's supposed to be an IT center. But this is what they got. This is what the government is making for your children. Huh? 1964 Civil Rights Bill, 1965. Oh, we're going to send all the niggas in the hood. We're going to send all the niggas in the hood. We're going to send them to Vietnam. But right here, guess what? You sent their grandfather to Vietnam in 65. Then you tell all the immigrants, come over and get the jobs in 65. But when we got our rights, in 65, this is where their great-grandchildren ended up. This is what y'all want. Lock them niggas up. Mass incarceration has proven that it has not worked. It has not worked. It has not worked. 24 years, mass incarceration, has it worked? If it's worked, why are we still going through our problems now? The church building is closed. We do not need officers for petty crimes. This, ladies and gentlemen, anybody who's listening to me right now, make the average day of an officer, 80% of the job of an officer is chilling and writing work up. It's so much a chill job 80% of the time. They have time to go and work at other, security jobs. They make more money on private security duty than they do their jobs. No one is talking about getting rid of the police, only for violent crime. The coronavirus has proven that we do not need these people for this petty shit. That's a fact. 2020 is an amazing thing. So all y'all saying, oh, we need a police to patrol the community, no, you don't. Now, for no petty stuff, notice the times that we have our interactions with police, petty traffic stops, petty jaywalking, all of this type of stuff. This is what y'all future wants. Listen, all you guys conservative, dumbass Democrats, this is what you wanted. This is what you wanted, and you got it. Has it changed? Has it fucking changed? It ain't changed. That's it. Scientifically, logically, it ain't the fucking answer. It ain't that answer. So, I made this video, man. Let me go ahead and get the hell up out of here. I made this video. Just to say, man, this is what y'all want. It's clear out here. The world is keep going on. For rolling probation, it's clear. I guess you have to, I don't know where they gotta go. But guys, I wanted to make this video to let y'all know, man, that no one is saying get rid of the police department. I want to end this video by saying, you know what? It needs to be restructured. Restructured is make a smaller police force, you know, a special police force. Training is not 6 months, 8 months. Training may be a year, 13 months, 14 months. You pay them more money. Smaller group. Pay them more money, more trained. They're going to be going for body wants, for violent crimes, you know, chasing down criminals, body crime, but all of this around the neighborhood, patrolling, what you doing, guys, harassing, all that shit is done and over with. If a police did not see you commit a crime, if a police does not have anybody calling, describing you, committing a crime. If they don't have no body warrant on you, leave fucking people alone. That's what you do. And this is the thing. If you do do that, if you do that, the community also has to do its part. Because if you're not going to have the police patrolling and harassing you, you as a Black African American community, me, you, and everybody else, has to stop getting in petty beef, conflict resolution. Stop calling the police for petty shit that we can resolve. Unnecessary foolishness. It includes me and everybody else. That I know my people. Most of the time, we got big beef for unnecessary foolishness. Guys, have a nice one.
Okay. All right. So y'all heard that. Now, boy, King gives me a call after that saying that. And he says, you know what? You're right. It is fucked up. He said, you're right. Now, I wonder if he's going to come onto the show and says, you know what? I saw the video. Because when he sees what they built, that state-of-the-art prison system for babies and children and teenagers, that's they saying that's their future. That's giving the fuck up right down fucking town. When you fucking come down to Baltimore City, near the dam in the harbor, tourists, if they go up fucking Gay Street, they're going to see a fucking juvenile fucking prison system. And it's fucking up. But we got to go back in time. They don't want us to go back in time. So I said, that's why I'm going to have this show. We're going to go back in time. We're going to have to start with the Black African American Soldier. The title is a Bootstrap Coons. Because he was one. Hopefully he changed around. But there's other ones right there. And guys, this is all good fun. But I'm trying to end some type of concepts that have been in our mind that is not right. Your political language, your political philosophy needs to change. Stop telling Black folks the only thing they got to do is pick up their fucking bootstraps. What the fuck is the definition of fucking bootstraps? Let's see what the fucking definition of bootstraps is before we get into this shit. Let me see. Bootstraps. What the fuck does that mean? What? Can somebody tell me what bootstraps mean? Let's see. This is the verb. In the third person, pick up your bootstraps. Get oneself or something into or out of a situation using existing resources. Watch this. Let me go for a minute. The concept is simply this. To pull yourself up by your bootstrap means to succeed or elevate yourself without outside help. We're going to find the night even when we want to find out what the outside help does, but even with outside help, like Black Wall Street, they still get us. They still mess up Black businesses. They still work Black businesses. And tonight when we play this audio about the Freedmen's Bank, I'm not going to, see, I don't play generationals. One generation is smarter than the other generation, but it's obvious that our grandfathers, dealing with the Freedmen's Bank, they were not as astute as they should have been. That shows the education system of the average black man was not like they say. And you're going to find out who they try to come and save. At this time, man, this government owns resources and money. When you tell somebody to pick yourself up on out of your own bootstraps, they don't tell you that when you in life, other people actually decide whether you succeed or not in certain instances. If you go on an interview, that interviewer decides whether they're going to pass your application to the supervisor right there. So right there, someone else is right there. It says, isn't that outside help? Ladies and gentlemen, that concept does not fucking exist. What do you do in this world without any outside help? Means to succeed or elevate without any outside help. What does any outside help mean? That does not exist. Name me a successful person who don't have other people around them be helping them be successful. That is a fucking lie. And this is what we need to stop and doing that shit stagnate. They think you're going to become rich. Like the black male says, fuck this shit. We're going to need your help because you stole our grandparents' money and we need some outside help. Because back in the past, your outside help fucked this up. So your outside help is going to redo it. Oh, you're going to mess up our stuff tonight. And now you don't supposed to help. This is what the conversation needs to be going in the black African-American community. We got a big election coming up. You need to stay focused. I'm letting you know, though, you guys, this platform was built for this. Somebody got to step up. It'd be a lot of people on here want to be listening. And all of that type of stuff. Somebody, y'all got to keep this conversation going. I've got a life this summer, guys. I don't know, but I'm going to try to do my best tonight. And then next week, we're going to start back over and really get deep into how really the black African-American soldier really helped with this country by his war efforts on both sides, the British side and America. And it amazes you. It's going to amaze you. And this is what you need to tell the brethren who talk about George Washington. If you're sitting at the table, and you're talking about American history, and someone brings George Washington and Andrew Jackson, what you need to do, you need to go talk about these regiments that I'm going to be talking about next week. And what I'm going to say next week, half 90% of black Americans don't even fucking know this shit. But we have to pass a test in history class to get your high school diploma, and you better get things about George Washington right. If you're not, people are going to look at you dumb and you stupid. You better know your three branches of government. Joined the war for freedom. My grandfather joined the war for freedom to promise the freedom. That was a big divide there. Because the soldiers was promised free. The other soldiers who did not fight in the war, they weren't going free. Then that's when you can have a black man owning another black man. That war helped divide black people even more. Then you had black people fighting on the American side, black people fighting on the British side. Then you make up a class of a hostage, the bourgeoisie. You divided black folk. Not only you divided black folk amongst each other by dividing them within the war, who's going to fight in the war or not, but you divided them by saying these black folks going to fight for this country and these black folks going to fight for that country. They don't want to tell you that, do you? And next week when I have my show, and I hope I make it good. I might have my show next week, and guess what? We're going to see how military strategy, what type of military strategy was that? And was it basically the foundation of victory? Was it the foundation of victory? Because both sides of the war realized what George Washington said was correct. Whoever arms the Negro the fastest, paraphrasing the statement, or the keys to victory, is whoever arms the Negro the fastest will win this fight. How many quote unquote white Americans know that? I'm asking you. I was the first one to recite that on this platform, and we have a gentleman that has a show on Tuesday night named Sarge. He never mentions that. Never. Never in his life. He never mentioned that. The man said that. So next week, I'll get with you in the show. I'll advertise. I'll let Tyrone know. I don't know what today is. But it's going to be a wonderful thing. But tonight, we're going to talk about that Freedman's Bank. The title is Bootstrap Coons. Where is our money, Bootstrap Coons? It's not talking about putting up of our bootstraps. It took from our grandfathers. We don't need no talk about we don't need outside help. That shit is done and over with. I'm going to read the definition again. Pull up by your own street, a bootstrap means to succeed or elevate yourself without outside help. That's a fucking lie. That's brainwash. Did the Jews put up all their own bootstraps after World War II? Did Japan put up all their bootstraps after World War II? Did the Asian Americans and then California and the Termicats, did they put up their bootstraps after World War II? Guys, but you have these people that came and I would, for some reason, look at their cousins and sisters that just was a little, by the way, man, your brothers and sisters were just a little bit dumber or stupider than you or that had problems. But guess what? They still get family. If you're talking about your cousins, ask why your cousins the way they are. Is it because your grandparents treated your parent better and gave more support and they just had a better life than their sibling? And when a sibling has children and has your cousins, they just had fucked up. You don't even know. Life is so complex in family structure. And they're your fault. So what I say is, if you're worried about your aunt and your cousins, they fucked up, you may have to go back to your grandparents and say, grandparents, how did you raise my aunt? Instead of shitting on your cousins. You see how it was all together? That's a fact. That's for them high sedities out there. Yeah, that's the old terminology. We're going to use old terminology tonight because we're going back in the 1775. We're going after the Civil War. High sedity uppities. Yeah, that's how they think. Don't forget your people. You don't have to live around them. You don't have to stay around them. But still love them and support them. Another thing, your grandparents principles. That's about it. Oh, by the way. Last thing about our Black African American soldiers and why this is really important. The strategy and war tactic, the philosophy was the Black African American was key at that time for victory. Why? Not only just about arming them and more men, and you're able to use the Black African American male to do the most hardest and dangerous work. hardest and dangerous work at that time. And remember, the hardest and dangerous work of a military, it is its foundation. Because off of that dangerous work becomes more easier work for the other soldiers, especially the non-commissioned officers and the commissioned officers. Okay? But the key strategy was, listen, we can get the black man to turn on, to pick their arms up, especially the British, to pick their arms up against, then what we'll do, we'll also simultaneously stop their economic flow. So we go. It's not the economic flow. So it was a must. Promise them freedom. And that's sad right there, just giving someone a, listen, that's how sad it is that if you I'll give you freedom if you just fight along with me. They put our grandfathers in a goddamn struggle. Right there they were confused. You got to say, God damn, man, I'm supposed to be free all the way, and I got to get in front of y'all white folk, beef. I got to get into this beef right here. Is my cousin going to be free? If he want to join, but if he don't fight, my brother, he's still going to be a slave. So if they do that, they said, well, that's what, they'll stop picking cotton. That fucked their money up, and whoa, you need money. Also, the reason why they would stop it, because guess what? In order to fund the war, the southern states were selling cotton to France. So if they could not stop it, if they stopped the cotton, they would not give the cotton to France, and France was given American weapons. So we funded the war. We funded the Revolutionary War, ladies and gentlemen. We funded the Civil War. So not only did we fund both wars that started this country over, not only we funded both wars, we fought in both wars, and just after that, they still shitted on us, and you'll see what I'm about to play with you. And these people telling us, stop going back in the past. The video that I played, it says, there's a questionnaire, and I'm going to play the video. There's a questionnaire, there's three questions that you must ask anybody. This, remember, I don't know if you want to see where their black mind is. Three questions. Right? Does racism exist? Ask them that. Number two, has America did enough or has America did too much for black African-American people? The last question is, does slavery have an impact on the black African-American's current condition? Those are the three tests. Write them down. Ask your children. Ask them. Remember that. I want you to ask yourself that question. Ask yourself. When you hear these people, when you hear anyone talk about race, ask yourself these questions. Do they believe in any of this? And any of this? Ask them. And you see where their political mind is. You see where their political mind is. So. But let me go ahead and play this audio real quick, and we'll just go from there. Yes, indeed. Hold on. Let me see. Hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute, guys. Hold on for a minute. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, I had a pretty nice day today, man. Pretty nice day today. Let's see. Let's scroll on up. Pretty nice day today, guys. Now, I want y'all to hear this. Think about this, man. Take some notes. And think about, man, we don't need to hear nobody talking about it. Because not at this point. I don't want to hear it, but you can hear it. But people got a right to say what they want to say. But right now, no, nah, man.
Economy, you're just labor. Land is capital, but to gain money and wealth and to have freedom, you have to have land.
At the end of the war, President Abraham Lincoln had promised the freedmen 40 acres of land per family. But those promises died with Lincoln's assassination.
Instead of 40 acres and a mule, they got the Freedmen's Bank. So instead of land, they were given a bank.
Union soldiers were getting bonuses. So the idea was to create a way to encourage the men to save the money so they wouldn't go squander it or be defrauded out of the money.
It was sold to the freedmen as better than giving you the land. You will earn the money through wages, and you will save it, and you'll buy your own land, and you'll feel better about that. Never mind that hundreds of years of working the land didn't count for earning the land.
The Freedmen's Bank was privately held, owned, and managed by wealthy white men. But the bank's aggressive marketing conveyed a different impression to its black depositors.
The passbooks and notes all featured, you know, the heroes. It was Abraham Lincoln. It was General Grant, Howard. It was very targeted. So people were saying, these are the men who freed us. And they're saying, come to this bank.
In freedom, some skilled African Americans saved their hard-earned capital at the Freedmen's Bank and went into business for themselves. For some black business people, personal services were the clearest path to success, and sometimes wealth.
They recognized that their ability to have a particular kind of skill set, which was something that the white population needed, allowed them a certain kind of mobility and freedom.
Many of them were able to cash in on expectations that they were replicating their servant roles where whites were in power and African Americans were serving them. For example, a number of black barbers continued to keep their exclusively white clientele after the war.
All these barbers spent that time in the barbershop nurturing these relationships with white men and use that money from the barbershop to help fund and to help fuel a black economic movement within their own communities.
From barbershops to grocery stores, black businesses relied on the Freedmen's Bank. But a decade after it was founded, Bank President Henry Cook was running the Freedmen's Bank into the ground.
Here was Cook saying, look at all this money they're putting their money in my bank, and whenever I need it, I'm going to reach in and get it.
Henry Cook starts looting the bank. He just starts taking this money and lending it or giving it to some friends and acquaintances, just putting the capital into railroad bonds, which was the subprime market of the day.
With the Freedmen's Bank on the verge of collapse, the federal government turned to the best-known African-American leader in the country to salvage it.
Congress brought in Frederick Douglass to serve as the new president of the Freedmen's Bank. Initially, he invested $10,000 of his own money as a way to shore up the bank, as well as to encourage other African-Americans to continue to deposit their money into the bank. But the bank was beyond saving. So so Douglas had to go to Congress and say that the bank was bankrupt and it needed to close.
The fact is, I was married to a corpse. I found that I had been placed there with the hope that by some drugs or some mighty magic, I would bring it back. But the life, which was the money, was gone.
Your hard-earned savings of the freedmen were lost just in the market, just poof. And nobody gets prosecuted. This was white-collar crime, actual just crime. It was theft, and nobody goes to prison for it.
Not even 10 additional years of slavery could have done so much to throttle the thrift of the freedmen as the mismanagement and bankruptcy of the series of savings banks chartered by the nation for their special aid.
From 1865 to 1874, about 70,000 people deposited the equivalent of $1.3 billion in modern-day numbers. So African-Americans enthusiastically embraced the Freedmen's Bank. It was a deep loss for African-Americans and a loss of a vast amount of Black wealth.
Soon after the collapse of the bank, the federal government withdrew from the South, returning control of the region to former slave owners. The dream of full citizenship for African Americans came to a screeching halt.
We see the end of efforts to educate formerly enslaved people. We see the end of the protection of the right to vote, and what is allowed to happen is a series of legislative and extra-legal attempts to suppress African-American freedom. Any land that was able to be secured is also violently retaken. And so what you see is a reassertion of that racial hierarchy in the South that had the white landowners at the top and Black labor at the bottom.
Okay. All righty, guys. Now, that's why if you learn your history, and if you would teach somebody about that history that they didn't know, some of them would still say, okay, so what? That was back then. That don't have nothing to do with now. What? You can't have a contradiction. You can't say that your forefathers, what they did now is the way we are now, but what they did back then to somebody else is not affecting them now. That's lying to you. The past always the past is the reason of your now. The now sums up all of the past. They lie to you. They play tricks that does not exist. Reflecting on the past and trying to not do better and realize that, you know what, I can do better in this ways. You know, reflecting on the past, yeah, I do owe you the money. So you know what? I know it was 10 years ago. Here, yo, get that $50 that I forgot. And can we just cross? That's crazy. Think about it in your personal life, man. Just to say, I know we forget everything, but let's say for really instance, back in the day, you let one of your peoples hold $100. Now, guys, I know this is petty for some people, but I'm just using this as an expressional. Since people don't want to realize the past, just try to bring it down to minuscule level. Forget the whole slave and the nation doing millions of Black people wrong. Let's just try to go into the personal interaction with people. Now, some people, this may be in some case, right? You let one of your friends for $100. And they said that they were going to pay you back soon and get paid. And you said, man, you got to let me hold my $100, man, because I'm counting on you, bro. I know you need help, but I'm going to need it back. I got you, bro. I got you. And he doesn't give it back to you. And that caused you stressed out on your stuff, right? And it was worse, something get too big, I ain't messing with no more. 7 years goes down, everything's gone, y'all don't meet, everything's broke. You're not even, you know, hey, you're not worried about the $100 anymore, you gone, you're going on. Evidently, he's good, he's done, he's money. And then you see each other at a nice little party, he say, hey, man, what's up with you, hey, bro, how you doing, man? And you just, and you see he's doing good. You see he's got the drink, he's got the shot. He even got the outfit costs $1,000 he has a young partner. And he's talking about that and talking about old high school friends and such a work down here. And I saw her, man, and, you know, his kids are doing what's better. And not one time he offers to buy you a drink or say, yo, you know what, that $100 I owe you, man, here. Now, some people are just going to say it was done and done. But some people may say, hey, man, what about the $100 you owe me? $100, man, that was years ago. What? You still owe me that $100, Joe? You technically right now, you still did not squash, you have not lost my agreement. That's what it's like. Oh my goodness. People need to wake up, man. I used to have some of the same thing too. It has to be a balance of this. Guess what? Someone played, we got a guy named ABC. He played a video of some Indian talking about you control your own destiny. No one controls your life. You make your own decisions in life. You push your own path. Mm-hmm. You're the controller of your own universe and your own destiny. You make that speech when one person is alone on the planet Mars. You make that speech when you're the only person on the planet Mars. That does not exist. That does not exist. That is a delusion. We work with others. We affect ourselves. We make our own decisions. Other people's input is in situations where we have to make a decision. We have to make a decision. Two or more choices. We put others, so we affect ourselves, we affect others, others affect themselves, and they also affect us. That, what I said, is a measurable fact. What you just played, you've only played it. Come on, brother, you cannot, is that you have to put that in the proper context. Him trying to make a recording of that, he's contradicting himself within the recording. Because, I mean, he definitely is. He's contradicting himself in the recording. Because he's telling people he's telling people how to control. He's trying to guide. So if anyone listens to him, they're using him to think like him. So he's affecting other people, dummies. And they'll bring this on that platform and say, don't call the white man because he's the government, man. You don't have to be worrying about all this, all that. But let me get to the video. Something was interesting to me. I don't know if we got the lines open. Anybody want to call and talk about this? Freeman's Bank, good. Anonymous caller. bring it in. But guys, I'm gonna bring up you guys right now. But I have many points that I want to talk about the Freedmen's Bank. Ken, if you're listening somewhere in cyberspace, I told everyone after my video I made today in downtown Baltimore, showing the juvenile how the juvenile center, state of art juvenile center. Ken called me. He says, "All facts. You know what? I'm gonna say you're right." So he's starting to come around. He's not trying to put no responsibility off of us. But he's saying, "Hold up, these motherfuckers doing." And Ken came back with a kind of plan of trying to get some fucking reparations. See? I had to take it to the street today. So I'm going to open up this line. Anonymous caller? Who's calling?
It's Sarge, the fact.
How you doing, Sarge?
I'm doing very well.
What's up? Did you hear the audio? Did you hear the audio about the Freedmen's Bank? Guys, since I have a lot of people online now. Yes, listen. Guys, since I have a lot of people online now, I'm going to play it one more time. Okay?
Please don't.
Oh, please don't.
Yes, I just like make a quick comment and then you can play it again, okay?
Sure, no problem.
Okay, here we go. First of all, you know I'm an amateur historian and I can't stand historical inaccuracy. And there was an enormous one in that audio right at the beginning. That audio either imputed or flat out stated that Abraham Lincoln said he was going to give black people, newly freed slaves, 40 acres and a mule. And he never said any such thing, ever. Never. That policy came about when the military governor of the region that had been conquered by the Union Army, William Tecumseh Sherman, Georgia, Florida, and Alabama, he met with a Baptist minister, black Baptist minister, named, what was this man's name? His name was, Garrison Frazier. And he wanted, he said the man was very dignified, and he impressed him very much. And this black Baptist minister went to him and appealed to him for arable land for black men in the region to till and make their own so they could work for themselves. And William Sherman was very impressed by this. And in his capacity as military governor, he issued Special Field Order Number 15. In it, he gave land, not a mule, couldn't say nothing about a mule, they gave some mules away, but it was 40 acres of arable, tillable land. Okay, that was what it was for. It was a military decision by a military governor in that capacity alone. It did not involve Congress. It did not involve the president. It had no force of law, none whatsoever. And so when Andrew Johnson became president after Abraham Lincoln was assassinated on April 15th, 1865, remember, Sherman issued this field order sometime in mid-January of 1865, Andrew Johnson, the Democrat vice president, now president, he canceled the order of Sherman, as is his authority to do as president. He's the commander-in-chief. This is a military order by a military governor. He decided to cancel it. It never, never, never had any force of law. We've got to understand it before we go any further. It was never a promise, even by the president. Now, you can argue that it should have been, but even Abraham Lincoln said he was opposed to redistributing land from former Confederates. Now, he might have gone along with the more radical abolitionists and others, given the fact that he was evolving on race relations and civil rights and everything. He might have, had he lived, gone along with the idea and proposed it to Congress to pass. I mean, he got him to pass the 13th Amendment. So it's entirely probable he might have done it, but he didn't live long enough. And let's face it, Andrew Johnson was no friend of black people. Okay, so can we please establish that as a historical fact? That's all I'm saying. Let's not get history wrong. Well, yet to be stunned. Did you mute yourself?
Thomas the Friedman, 40 acres of land per family. But those promises died with Lincoln's assassination.
Instead of 40 acres and a mule, they got the Friedman's Bank. So instead of land, they were given a bank.
Union soldiers were getting bonuses. So the idea was to create a way to encourage the men to save the money so they wouldn't go squander it or be defrauded out of the money.
It was sold to the freedmen as better than giving you the land. You will earn the money through wages, and you will save it, and you'll buy your own land, and you'll feel better about that. Never mind that hundreds of years of working the land didn't count for earning the land.
The Freedmen's Bank was privately held, owned, and managed by wealthy white men. But the bank's aggressive marketing conveyed a different impression to its black depositors.
The passbooks and notes all featured, you know, the heroes. It was Abraham Lincoln. It was General Grant, Howard. It was very targeted. So people were saying, these are the men who freed us. And they're saying, come to this bank.
In freedom. Some skilled African Americans saved their hard-earned capital at the Freedmen's Bank and went into business for themselves. For some black business people, personal services were the clearest path to success, and sometimes wealth.
They recognized that their ability to have a particular kind of skill set, which was something that the white population needed, allowed them a certain kind of mobility and freedom.
Many of them were able to cash in on expectations that they were replicating their servant roles where whites were in power and African Americans were serving them. For example, a number of black barbers continued to keep their exclusively white clientele after the war.
All these barbers spent that time in the barbershop nurturing these relationships with white men and used that money from the barbershop to help fund and to help fuel a black economic movement within their own communities.
From barbershops to grocery stores, black businesses relied on the Freedmen's Bank. But a decade after it was founded, Bank President Henry Cook was running the Freedmen's Bank into the ground.
Here was Cook saying, look at all this money. They're putting their money in my bank. Whenever I need it, I'm going to reach in and get it.
Henry Cook starts looting the bank. He just starts taking this money and lending it or giving it to some friends and acquaintances, just putting the capital into railroad bonds, which was the subprime market of the day.
With the Freedmen's Bank on the verge of collapse, the federal government turned to the best-known African-American leader in the country to salvage it.
Congress brought in Frederick Douglass to serve as the new president of the Freedmen's Bank. Initially, he invested $10,000 of his own money as a way to shore up the bank, as well as to encourage other African-Americans to continue to deposit their money into the bank. But the bank was beyond saving. So Douglass had to go to Congress and say that the bank was bankrupt and it needed to close.
The fact is, I was married to a corpse. I found that I had been placed there with the hope that by some drugs or some mighty magic, I would bring it back. But the life, which was the money, was gone.
The hard-earned savings of the freedmen were lost just in the markets, just proof. And nobody gets prosecuted. white collar crime, actual just crime. It was theft, and nobody goes to prison for it.
Not even 10 additional years of slavery could have done so much to throttle the thrift of the freedmen as the mismanagement and bankruptcy of the series of savings banks chartered by the nation, Special Aid.
From 1865 to 1874, about 70,000 people deposited the equivalent of $1.3 billion in modern-day numbers. So African-Americans enthusiastically embraced the Freedmen's Bank. It was a deep loss for African-Americans and a loss of a vast amount of Black wealth.
Soon after the collapse of the bank, the federal government withdrew from the South, returning control of the region to former slave owners. The dream of full citizenship for African Americans came to a screeching halt.
We see the end of efforts to educate formerly enslaved people. We see the end of the protection of the right to vote, and what is allowed to happen is a series of legislative and extra-legal attempts to suppress African-American freedom. Any land that was able to be secured is also violently retaken. And so what you see is a reassertion of that racial hierarchy in the South that had the white landowners at the top and Black labor.
Anonymous Caller, I'm going to bring you in a minute, but let me say something real quick. I want to say something real quick, Anonymous Caller. Let me bring you in real quick. Let me say something. I don't know if that's who's that. Okay. Let me say something for a minute. Tonight is about my grandfathers. What we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to destroy the bootstrapping cones talk. The bootstrapping cones. Okay? Tonight is something special tonight. We need to reflect. Ladies and gentlemen, we're reflecting on the past. They don't want us to talk about this. This is why they got the Black African-American people talking about the reality TV shows, got our kids talking about sports, Me Too, personal entertainment, all this other stuff. They do not want us to talk about and reflect about the past. Because when you start talking about and reflecting, not dwelling, reflecting, remember the cones, the bootstrap cones, and stop talking about slavery. You remember that habit growing up? Come on. Stop talking about that. Stop talking about it. You're bringing up old scars. No, you're realizing when you look at it, goddamn, we got over, you over on us, and then you start using, no, now we have to use emotional logic. Emotional logic. Yes, you're supposed to get upset when you hear this, and you have to think a logical way, emotionally, logically, how are you going to say, hold up, at this present time, as we're talking about in this current event, this current atmosphere, what we're going to do about it? I'm going to bring the anonymous caller on. We're talking about the Freedmen's Bank tonight. Don't talk about nothing else. We're talking about what could be owed. We're talking about reparations. We're talking about the I say, quote unquote, bootstrap coons, meaning that we read, meaning that you can only have success without any outside help. Does that exist? That's what they've been telling us. So if you don't want to talk about that, don't talk tonight because you're disrespecting my grandfather. I'm taking this serious. Anonymous caller, who's this?
It's Sarge again. When did you decide to mute me?
Okay, well, you're muted. Well, I didn't mute you, but let me say something. And Sarge, you're unmuted, but I'm going to make some points. And since you're the only one on the line, y'all can call. Let me see if I got any DPR callers. I'm representing. What's up, East Coast in the chat room, BTR? How you doing? Represent my grandfather tonight. And I contend, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care. We can talk about Black African-American movement, women and their strives, but tonight we have to talk about the foundation of even talking about people being free in this country. It starts with the Black African-American male strategically. Bro, you have to talk about this. Tonight, what I want to get to all of you, share this with your children. I'm going to try to do the best and do your own research. Don't just look at this documentary. One thing, if you look at the documentary, when they make a point, you Google it and you do your own research off that point. Tell your children when they start sitting around at a table any time of their life, in Caucasians and Asians, start talking about their culture. Start talking about their culture. My next show that I have, you bring up to those white, you bring it up to Drew Brees, what the, you tell them how I'm going to tell you. I'm going to, the first time ever, you listen to what I say. You tell them what, you tell them that if it wasn't for the black African-American soldier, guess what? We may still be going to war now. America probably wouldn't have won. That's a fact. They, and guess what? The first president on that dollar bill, he the one said it. And both sides took his advice. But I want to say something. The most interesting, sad thing about this guy, listen, as a soldier, sergeant, all the veterans on the side, when you, war is a special thing. You get hazardous pay. Coming back over to that goddamn Civil War. Huh? They got money. Now, they know technically back then they had to give that people that goddamn money, y'all. The white folks said, shit, goddamn, we can't cut them on that fucking money. Goddamn, I mean, I hit you bad, but we can't cut them on that pay. That would have been fucked up for the war effort. So they said, since we got to go give the pay, since the young black boys, they were uneducated, those soldiers. They didn't go to school. Guys, you got to realize the school that we're talking about now, that's a fairly new philosophy. Yo, my kid's going to school and get a good... That shit's new. Actually, the school was private till the person didn't go to goddamn school. They wasn't a student in mathematics. And I'm not shitting on my grandfathers right now, but that's just a fact. I don't play those generation comparisons and contrasting games. That's crazy. Because all of us are one and connected together. So why are you going to shit on your grandparents? And why would your grandparents shit on their grandchildren? Because guess what? You're shitting on yourself at once. That's fucked up. Think about it. That's a measurable fact. But listen, guys. So our grandfathers, they said, well, shit, they're going to spend all that money up. Remember what they tell us about reparations. In the bootstrap coon say this, and they said it in this story. The concern was the senator don't give them that money because they're going to go fuck it up and squander it. But listen to what they find up doing. They wind up fucking up and squandering our grandparents' fucking money. And we cook, yeah, he really did cook up a goddamn scheme. So that was their war money, yo. So they started it off with the, that's bloodshed money. That's bloodshed money. That's hard. That's, do some of the wildest work. Sarge, that's my first point. I got a lot of points. I hope it runs 3 hours. Sarge, sit you on the line. What do you think about them saying that black people was not, they initially thought that we were going to start this off because they figured that the blacks wasn't going to squander the money. They wasn't going to do the right thing with the money. And they devised this plan. What do you think about that?
Well, I'd like to go back to what I wanted to do initially before you muted me and you said I could talk.
Listen. I'm sorry. Hold up. He's playing games tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, he's muted. He's muted. Sarge, if you're gonna want to get back on, Sarge, hold on. I didn't suppose him. I mean, him, excuse me. Yeah, he's muted. Yeah. He's muted. He's playing. He wants to go back to what I was saying. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to go talk about that. And I'm not going to go talk about it. It's a waste of time. That's called a red herring. That's called a red herring. Let me crush what the fuck he has to say real quick, and I'm going to stay focused. It's with the, he's a bootstrap coon, and I love for the entertainment, but I want him to start about the topic. He's not going to win. I'm not going to disrespect my grandfathers. I don't mess with ancient Egypt stuff. No, grandfathers here that built this greatest country on the face of this earth. That's what I talk about, those grandfathers. Forget Africa. I don't go there. I'm talking about these ancestors. Yeah. I can talk about them. But let's cross what he says. He talks about this. It wasn't a 40 acres in the field. It wasn't a 40 acres in the field. Forget the terminology. Forget the semantics. They promised him something, and they were not giving it, bottom line. And as we see, we're going to go down, the white man wind up taking the shit, factually. So all that shit, they did promise him something. Abraham Lincoln promised him something. Something was promised. Something was in the cooking. There was in the conversation of giving your grandfather something, Sarge. So what is gone? That conversation is over. They set this bank up to say the niggas are not going to be able to handle the money, and they wound up destroying the money themselves. But let's continue on. Then they go and tell your grandfather, well, we want you to go work. Well, you know, the bootstrap coons love this. The bootstrap coon says, you know, yeah, boss. And also, we're going to work, boss. We're going to work, and we're going to put our money in our bank, and we're going to lift it all up. No, the government ain't say we're going to start this bank, and you're going to give y'all $1 million to circulate in it to get y'all fresh starting on. I just want anything. Anybody tell me after reading this show that we should pull ourselves up the bootstraps? Our grandfathers went to war, then came home, then they pulled themselves off the bootstraps, then they went to work, as we go on to see, did work, put it in that bank, thriving, markets and shit, and they fucked it up. Now, someone is going to say, well, what about don't use outside help? Well, no, if outside help fucked it up, outside help is going to make fix it up. So we do need outside help. Bootstraps is a lie. It's philosophy. Logically, it's depressing for people. It doesn't exist in this earth. Then now you set the bank up. Somebody, y'all want to talk, y'all better hit one. If someone sets the damn bank up, right? They set the bank up. And when they set the bank up, they designed it and they put white people's paw all over the damn bank. Black money got what? Now what? Why didn't they put Frederick Douglass on there? We'll get to him soon. I would think that he would be the first investor. Where was the talented Tim? Hold up. Let me slow down. Shit, I'm going to talk tonight. Y'all don't have to call him. Y'all don't have to press one. I'm rolling tonight. Where was the talented Tim? Huh? On the onset. The first thing that should I say, so where was he? You know where the goddamn talented Tim is at. We even know where the towns of Tim was at. What were they worrying about? They had the right idea for the bank. That bank could have been the nation's bank right there, guys. That bank right there could have been the best bank. We all, black people, would have been baiting right there. They said already was separated. They didn't put the black soldiers' money with the white soldiers' money. They already had our group communities. They said they fucked it up, yo. How dare somebody tell that slavery? What's the three questions? Does slavery have something to do with what we have now? What interesting thing about it is, and it's still under their grandfathers, a lot of barbershops. A lot of barbershops. I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to see what he has to say. Sarge, you're going to have to stay on topic, man. Your mic is over. I'm not talking about the 40 acres of controversy. Can you do you want to comment on some other things that I had to say to go along with the show? Talk about our grandfathers. They're coming out of the Civil War.
I don't want to, break your rice bowl with your grandfathers or nothing. But I'm just saying that the audio that you played had an enormous historical inaccuracy in it.
Okay, let's move forward. Okay, we agree to disagree. Now let's move forward.
No, it's not agree to disagree. It's a matter of historical fact.
Okay.
It's not an opinion.
Okay. You're right, I'm wrong. Okay, you're right, I'm wrong. Let's move on. Okay, now continue on. Let's talk about
the thing. I'm going to be corrected for your audio to tell them what actually happened.
Well, that's a good matter. Okay, that's a good matter.
The only thing
they heard was what they were saying in that audio, which is totally incorrect.
Okay.
It'll take me a moment. It's not going to take long.
Okay, but let's move on. Topic.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about that.
Correct
let's
the
move
inaccuracy?
So,
I mean, you're talking about history now.
So you're trolling right now.
Okay.
You're trying to get me mad. I'm not mad, but I'm just trying to. I'm working with you.
I'm not trolling. You're the one trolling by letting an inaccuracy stand.
Okay.
That's trolling.
But Sarge, I don't think it's an inaccuracy. You did.
It is.
And I said, okay, and then, okay, now watch this. I say, now watch this. We're going to be grown adults. Let's pretend teenagers will listen to us. We're going to disagree, move on. Now let's go, kids, and talk about the bank situation. That's it. Now,
okay,
if you want to continue and sit, you're disrupting the show as my 20-year-old senior, and I'm trying to educate either white Caucasians or this.
How can you educate
them
by telling them inaccuracy?
Okay, now are you going to do it? Okay, that's it. He's trolling. That's it. Now, I didn't even troll his show. It's an old man don't got shit to do. And this is sad. He's on the wrong side of history. He's a bootstrap clone. Upset. Trying to stop. He has to be trolling. Because I gave him the questionnaire, guys. I told you, what's the three tests? What's the three questions to test the psychological mindset of somebody when it comes about Black African Americans? Has America done enough or too much for Black African Americans in this country? Does racism exist? And Sarge says yes to this. Slavery doesn't have effect on my current condition, and he want to talk about inaccuracy. Come on, y'all. You want to be a citizen of attention? Fuck you. All right. So we had the barbershops going, guys. You know. They was cutting a lot of white folk hair and everything was going good, but it failed in 10 years. 10 years totally collapsed, gone. Totally gone. That's bad. That's bad. They should never let that bank stale. Think about it. Think about it. Why would the government even, this is what you had to deal with. Did they have control of their own destiny, guys?
Batman, you have control of your own destiny. No one outside of you can affect you. Put up your own bootstraps. Okay, Coon Kitty, fuck out of here.
Doesn't exist. It brainwashed you. Those people that are in the Black community that brainwash you, I will guarantee you, they're surrounded by, guess what? Mostly majority white people. With a work, school, atmosphere. I was telling you guys about my little experience as a teenager. At a predominantly white school. We had a big debate, news, cameras everywhere. We had that assembly program in that predominantly white school, that Black African American History program. But we didn't talk about this. We didn't present that to them. We present the positive aspect of us. We did not present anything like that to them. We were generous and we were nice. But they have shit. They need this. This is what they need. They tell you to keep quiet, go to school, play sports. Listen to watch Netflix. Don't go and breakfast. No. They don't want. And even the coons don't want you to do this because the coon says, you know what? Damn. What I've been telling my people is not necessarily true. The government should make sure they do something else and make sure they implement it correctly. Make sure the government checks and make sure things are done right. Right, 7-10 years, you got Mr. Cook coming there and lending money to the goddamn railroad track. Where was the talent of 10? Why didn't they get a white man to put a hold the bank? Where was the banker at? Wasn't this in the newspapers being passed by Congress? What soldiers? Where's President Douglas at? I think he came to a little bit too late. He gets $10,000 after the man gets it up. Fred, why you ain't invest 10 straight? What was up with? Yo, they your black brother, see? He was the open with 10 G's back then. Yo, you know how Frederick Douglass got his money, guys. Frederick Douglass was a great orator. He's opposite of me. That's a fact. Frederick Douglass was a great orator. Frederick Douglass went around the country making good speeches that the Constitution is an anti-slavery document, not a pro-slavery document. I'm going to say again, Frederick Douglass got paid. They were debating. Raymond Scholars were debating whether this is the fact. This is where he made his most money, ladies and gentlemen. This is where he made his most money. I'm going to break it down. Google what I say. Fucking leave. This is a fact. Nobody's talking about nobody's personal life. People are talking about somebody's professional life that is able to be criticized. Frederick Douglass was on the side of a great debate. The great debate was, when you look at the Constitution, is the Constitution promoting slavery or is it anti-slavery document? That's right. Google anything. Google Frederick Douglass anti-slavery Constitution. That's it. What the fuck? I don't have to get shit no link. Because I think your link, it might be a bias. And you go, and then you have all the information. That's just my style, ladies and gentlemen. I had a show many years. Some of y'all guys, I don't disagree and debated him on this topic. Frederick Douglass, and guys, we're going to get to the bank, but I got to get on Frederick Douglass real quick. Frederick Douglass, great man, did a lot, great orator. Frederick Douglass went around and telling everybody it's an anti-slavery bill. How can it be an anti-slavery bill when it got the formulation and mathematics for slavery in the Constitution of the United States? It separates a group of people. The three-fifth clause right there separates a group of people and say everybody's not free. How can the Constitution be set up that like that? What? Luckily, he did not tell about the Declaration of Independence. What would the Declaration of Independence stand for? Strictly them, factory. First draft, that Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin controlled that bitch. So nobody don't say, man, let me tell you one thing. Benjamin Franklin, that first Declaration of Independence, you know what it was saying? You know what it said? It says Great Britain enslaved black people and all that. Stop. They enslaving us. They enslaving black people. Everybody got to be motherfucking free in the goddamn slaves. Because guess what? Watch this. They had the first diamond because they weren't the motherfucking slaves to fucking go rebel. Don't get on them. One again, George Washington told them whoever armed up the slaves. That's why they was going to arm up the slaves the first draft, yo. But then guess what? Guess what you have? You have Georgia, South Carolina, come to the goddamn convention and change that shit. And guess what, guys? As we're going to hear them on the next show, they still needed us. Ow! You still needed us. Fact. This is something that a black man needs to go in his history and look at it and say, stand up for yourself. White man, what you talking about? This your land. What is you talking about? Break down a military strategy. You want to quote your grandfathers? Let's quote your grandfathers. What they say about us? How do we strategize during the war? What? Stand up, black man. Walk around here with your goddamn head down like this ain't your motherfucking country. Stop saying things that does not exist and that are not logical. And if you apply, does it really exist? It's a fucking game that they're playing. Or if they applied, can you prove it wrong? This is not so in every case. So President Douglas went along around telling everybody, oh, cupcakes and all this. He got all that money. $10,000, a lot. Major speeches in front of a major high scholar. A Caucasian audience. Killing a black man. Tell them that their constitution is anti-slavery. It's a gay. Ladies and gentlemen, the joke may have been on Frederick Douglass. They may have been in an audience saying, listen to this goddamn articulate coon. We got him up here like a clown trying to, if the document was not an anti-slavery document, why the fuck your people are in slavery? The people are not acting it out. The 3/5 cause was still going on. He was arguing that before the Civil War, ladies and gentlemen, the 3/5 cause. And then they talked about the 3/5 cause. It was the reputation of Congress. That's where they started off. Then they talked about the slave and the cotton. But he was arguing that before that, he donated $10,000 of his own money. That man was a multi-millionaire about it. He made it. Guys, my question now, learning this history, why didn't he put 10,000 straight up and then that way he could be the board? How did he blacks, did they fail us? Why didn't they help out the soldiers that was the niggas? There was no educated. Where was the educated blacks, the authors, the scholars? Where was the lawyers? What's going on? Why do y'all have those soldiers out? Why did they come on now? I'm not going to do that. But I'm talking about the person. Don't sit on nobody's generation. Let's come together here. Learn from our grandfather's mistakes. Get us something now. No, y'all ain't controlled it. See, if you learn this history now, if something come in the future, no, they're not going to control this stuff. No, y'all took about the Freedman Bank, bro. Y'all did our people wrong. Let me see. Guys, y'all can call in. If not, I'm going to keep on rolling. Get his ass off of here. Fucking trolling my show. Let me go on. So go with the Congress. Right? Congress ain't do a damn thing. What did Congress do? Congress ain't do shit. Congress supposed to save that bank. They're your fellow soldiers. Huh? Congress, I think Congress would want to save that bank. Definitely, I think Congress saved the bank. Congress ain't do shit. And now people don't expect that, hey, Congress could try to fix something up. Now what's going on? See, when the coons come, the kitty coon, they say, well, they didn't promise the black man anything. They didn't do it. That's what he comes and says. They're not going to promise you anything. They're not going to promise you anything. They're not going to promise you anything. They didn't promise it. No, they did promise something. Because, see, if they say, oh, America did promise something, then that may say, if you promise something and you did not give it something, that means you still owe it something. That's what the kitty coons, the kitty coons, the bootstrap coons, they do not want to hear that. They fuck up history, and they want to just keep on talking about that. They did absolutely nothing. They say they took the life out of the black community. They say when you took the money out of it, you took the life out of it. You took the life out of them. And they said, money can't change your life. In America, money can change your life. Back then, they said they took the life of them. Frederick Douglass said, you took the money, all the money, you took the life of the people. I invested it. It wasn't no life in it no more. Frederick Douglass was a man, God, back there. A lot of people John Brown ran to him for some help. That man had money, y'all. That man had money, yo. And this is the thing, trash that thing about it. No one went to jail for the motherfucking Henry Cook shit. Not one person went to jail. And we still going the same thing here with the police department. Not one person went to jail for that shit. Similar to here, 2008. Not one person went to fucking jail. I guess that's a white collar crime, huh? Dang. This bank was, it was chartered by the nation. The nation really sponsored this bank. Remember, Congress didn't do anything. They sponsored the bank and they let it fail. Now, in the documentary, I don't know, you can do your research, but it says 70,000 people, 70,000 depositors. Right, 70,000 customers, right? Deposit over this in today's wealth is $1.3 billion. That's good for a small bank. Just for soldiers, that's like a credit union now. It's just like your local credit union, guys. That's what that shit, and they fucked it up. It's like a little small community bank for the soldiers and shit, separate for them. They fucked it up. They took their war money. Not only was their war money, remember, it was their hard-earned money that they was working every day to build it up. Remember, that was bootstrap money. They put their bootstrap money in there, and they fucked it up, and they going to talk about, oh, their grandchildren ain't fucked up because of that shit. After the goddamn bank failed, God says, ain't no land was promised to them. The fucking goddamn slave owners reclaimed the fucking land. Some land was given away. What are you talking about? No slave owners. Or they didn't have any land. If the slave owners reclaimed the land, they took over the land and they violently retook the land by using violence. By using violence. If this stuff happened to the Jews, juvenile centers in Baltimore, Maryland, right next to the downtown harbor. A tourist coming to town, they drive on Gay Street, they see a juvenile facility. That shit's supposed to be in a country away from somebody. What the fuck? That's supposed to be on the outskirts of the city. They got that shit right downtown. That shit looks disgraceful. I sent that shit to Ken. He called me and said, you know what? I got to throw away my coon card. All facts, you make a goddamn good point. So, guys, that's my presentation tonight. That's the reason why I opened it up tonight. I'm going to open it up. Tyrone, you on the line? I'm going to open it up. I did my presentation. That's all I wanted to get out. And if you want to cut it, I'm going to leave BTR. We got 22 minutes in BTR. Anybody listening, BTR 515-605-9340. Call in and get in your questions and whatever. Let me go see what's up. That's it. Y'all can go ahead and break it. I don't see any more callers. I'm going to call it early tonight. Let me see. I'm going to leave the lines open, guys. I want him to go ahead and cut it off because on my stream, I don't want no dead silence. And then go ahead and take it to overtime. That was pretty good. No, he's not on. And while Todd come back, I'm going to play another audio. And then we'll go from there. Let me see which one I want to do. for the one in the chat. Fucking be grown adults at this time. Ain't no time to be playing no fucking games and shit. Like, that shit don't even sound, like funny to me no more. Fucking people trying to get their own, people trying to get some retribution or some justice for their people, or let people see, hey man, you gotta pay attention on this type of way, and this guy fucking playing games with terminology.
Hey, I just got to mention, man. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm about ready. I don't see no more callers. I did my show. What you can do, you can go ahead and end the stream, and I'm just going to open it up for everybody. And I'm really done. I said what I had to say. I gave my information. Sarge came on here and trolled me. And that's about it, man, because I'm not going to stay on here all night. Like I told them guys, I'm going to do one more show about the Black Soldiers, but I'm not going to be having no show because this is going to be – you know, for me for a while, man. I'm trying, it's going to be a nice summer. I'm traveling and stuff like that when this stuff opens up. But, it's a great show, man. But if you want to make some comments, after your comments, you can go ahead and end it out.
I just want everybody to know, if you listen on Facebook, it's going to be a new stream called Open Conversation. Yeah. And then end this one out. And then, I don't know, just open it up, man. You know, see if people want to talk.
Open it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. All right, guys.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Oh. Y'all give me 1 second and I'll have it open. And y'all can have that.
And all BTR listeners, if you're going to call in, call 712-770. I'll put it in the chat room. 712-770-4160, access code 915-411. If you want to speak, star 6 and then number 1, because I won't be answering the BTR calls. So I'll keep BTR up, and all y'all listeners on BTR, I'll keep it up. It's going to go on overtime in about 18 more minutes, and then you'll have another free one. But after that, you're going to have to call that number. And if you want to say something during the overtime, call into that number. So it's 712-770-4160-915-411. That's the pound sign, and then the star 6, and then the number 1 to come on board. All right?
The recording has started. All participants are unmuted. Q&A session is over.
I want to. I'm gonna hit the mute button, but it's live and it's on Facebook if y'all want to talk. All right. Okay, appreciate it, All Facts.